Bartek.
Hey, good morning. Is Jeff there?
It's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. This is Nico from Bank of Cardiff. How you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, good. Look, I don't know if you remember, we spoke back in January about some equipment financing and working capital that we had pre-approved you guys for about $250,000.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just circling back, you know, towards the end of the year here and seeing if you guys have, you know, how business has been, how everything's kind of, you know, shaped up, if you're in any
Fair.
Need for some financing.
No, I'm not doing anything after the election.
Oh, you guys are waiting until after the election?
You got it.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, what's the outcome that you're looking at right here?
Well, I don't think I need another piece of equipment if Hillary Clinton gets elected, so. I don't think I'll have enough work to keep busy what I got.
Yeah, okay, okay. But
so,
since January, you guys have been good?
Fair. It's not been good. It's been fair. Manufacturing ain't been good for about 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. The industry's kind of taking
it
back.
And it ain't been real good since, like, 99 or 2000.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to do $2 million a year. Now we do $550,000, $600,000.
Oh, wow.
They're just not. I mean, you can't compete with the overseas price that these companies go get.
Okay. Yeah, so they just, you know, try and outsource a lot of the work.
Yeah.
Nobody's using old American steel, you know?
Right. They're going to South Korea. They're going to Vietnam. They're going to India, you know, China, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, none of those countries have an EPA, so...
Yeah,
they don't have all the stringent bullshit they go through that we do here in order to make a piece of steel or to manufacture a piece. And then after you manufacture it, they consider half the shit you make hazardous waste.
Oh, yeah, and then you got to try and get rid of all that stuff,
I mean,
and that's another
just,
pain in the ass.
That's a whole other layer of bureaucracy, you know. They're going to have to ease some regulations on... Here's the deal. If you don't make anything in the country, you do not sustain any long-term good-paying jobs. Period. We can't all work on servicing, you know, air conditioners and lawnmowers. I mean, we can't be a service-driven industry because somebody's got to make something.
Right, right. You have to build the product to make it happen.
You can't be building it over the pond, everything, and expect to keep people in good-paying jobs. It just don't work that way.
No, it doesn't. You outsource it, and you make other people do it, so that means that there's no jobs available within, you know, like the smaller communities who have been focusing on, you know, the manufacturing side of the business for generations.
I mean, I had a company that outsourced to China in 2002, and stuff that I'd done for years, they were getting it cheaper than I could buy the material for over here.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I could literally pick up the phone and order a piece of cast iron to make those manifolds for what they're getting the finished part from. How am I going to compete with that? It don't matter what my overhead is. I cannot compete when I can't even order material and be in the ball game.
No, yeah, has that been the more recent trend too?
Well, you know, the EPA ain't let up on steel mills. They're doubling down on all of our coal industry. Here's another deal. What's going to happen if she gets elected? All of us manufacturers ain't going to be able to run off of wind power. We're going to have to burn coal. When she's done said, she will get rid of the coal industry. So, I mean, what alternatives does that leave us people that use a lot of electricity? I mean, if you're running your house, that's one thing. But you ain't going to run a 100-horsepower surface grinder off of a freaking windmill.
No, it's not doable.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, that's another part of my business that just went through the roof is the... utilities. My utilities have doubled in the last 8 years. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just hanging loose. I don't owe nothing. It's all paid for.
Well, that's good. You're just kind of riding the wave right now.
I'm just staying firm. And whatever happens, then I'll make a decision as to...
Okay.
I don't know. I'm actually looking at other ventures. I'm actually looking at maybe buying a winery in our area.
I take it from me. My family, we grew up grapes over here in California, Napa Valley, for some big-name wineries.
Really?
Yeah.
I was out that way this year in the spring in May. I come back to,
Where'd you visit?
I'm probably not going to say it right. Viscaya?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I went through there, and I went up to into the Redwood area, into the Sierra Nevadas.
Oh, yeah,
the mountains,
yeah.
There, and then we went down to the Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. Some of that place is beautiful. Some of it I wouldn't take it if they give a shit to me. Like L.A., they can have that. I don't ever need to go back there again.
I don't like the L.A.
Part
area.
Of that country is beautiful with all the fruit trees and all the grapes.
Oh, yeah.
Just beautiful area.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you make your way up to Napa Valley?
No, I didn't get that far.
Oh, you definitely...
I didn't get a chance.
If you're interested in the winery business, come over to, you know, where the world looks for wine.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Where we're at, craft breweries are becoming a big thing here.
True. The microbrewery game.
Microbrewery. And then, but, you know, I'm looking more toward the high. I have a food background, too. So I'm looking maybe more toward a high-end. I've looked at an established one. It's been here for 31 years. It's mm-hmm. on the river. But they just want too much money.
Are you looking to buy them?
Well, I was looking to buy, but the problem is they got there's five owners.
Oh.
They just got it overpriced, and they really do want to sell.
How much do you mind if you let me know how much they're asking for?
They're wanting $1,075,000.
$1,075,000.
And they have to purchase a lot of their grapes. They have probably, I'm gonna guess, they probably have 10 acres of vines.
Yeah, and are they producing enough to cover those costs?
I can't tell you that. I mean, I know that they purchase a lot because they wholesale their wine as well as serve it in their winery. But they have a fantastic following. They have really good clientele as far as, you know, they have a higher end food. You know, you go there to eat, it'll cost you $30 to get you an entree plus, you know, desserts are $8 probably. So, I mean,
wow.
It's not a cheap place to go. But by California standards, that's pretty cheap probably. But in our area here, it's fine dining. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
right.
It has a nice setting. It sits right along the Ohio River. They have an outside area where you can sit and overlook the river, or you can sit inside. It's but, you know, here's the thing. It in my eyes, to buy it, it needs $50,000 of renovation. I think the building, it's not that it doesn't look good, it just hasn't had anything done to it for 10 years or more.
Oh, so it's a little run down?
Well, it's not run down, but it's not, to me, and this is what they told me, well, you know, you can't get five people to all vote to decide to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I kind of understand that, but... You know, like I would take all the carpet up, and I would probably put new hardwood down. I would redo some of the tables, and they got wallpaper and part of it that's outdated. And, you know, just things that's up my line because I do real estate. I flip it. I know what modern is. I know what people want to see. You know, I would take some of the stuff out and put, you know, curly maple front entryway and probably granite. And, you know, just things that would...
Make it look nice.
Make it...
Appealing to the eye, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're trying to get top dollar for... And they get a lot of clientele. I mean, they have a lot of older clientele.
I mean, Jeff...
Which is the kind of clientele you want. You know, their clientele probably is from 40 to 80. And
right.
A lot of young people.
Okay.
But, you know, that's the people that have the money. You know what I mean?
True.
So
true,
I don't know,
true.
But I can't... we live about... We've actually talked about turning our house into a winery eatery because we have a house that's pretty unique. We built it 7 years ago, but or I built it. It's half log, half stone. But our main deck, our main floor is 3,800 square feet, and it's all open.
Wow!
So it has a real nice appeal. We live right in the middle of the Amish community, and we have. You know, we have horses, and we have a big pond. We have a beautiful place. We have 40 acres, so we have a beautiful place for people to come and sit, relax. Just as good as what the winery we're looking to buy is.
Why don't you convert your own? I mean, you have 40 acres. You can convert your own, you know, property into a winery.
Yeah, the problem is where I'm at, I don't think it would be too conducive for growing vines.
Oh, is it
we
like...
We have a lot of rock in our... I mean, you can go down. Yeah. There's some places I got rock sticking out of the ground.
Yeah, that's difficult to try and, you know, build, you know, the vineyards on.
But that's not a big deal to buy your grapes either, I don't... I mean, some people want to see some vines. Some people don't give a shit. You know, I mean, be honest. As long as you got a good bottle of wine, they don't care.
True. No, you're absolutely right. I think it's so the quality of the wine.
We've talked about that because we figure for $25,000 we can convert the main floor of our house into a restaurant that is really bigger than what theirs is. It's more unique. As ours, we don't have to do any upgrades. It's got all real high end, nice. It's all nice hardwood. It's primitive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
Jeff, what are you waiting on? Is there something that you're like waiting to do, or seems like you have all these great ideas, but you're not wanting to pull the trigger on them right now?
Well, I just kind of want to wait and see what happens, you know. Probably go more that direction instead of the manufacturing if she's elected.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I don't think anything will ever happen to the alcohol. They want the money. They want the tax. But, you know, it's pretty clear they don't want manufacturing in the country.
Yeah, that's a definite, like, sight that she has her mind on right now.
I mean, when I started this 25 years ago, I would have never invested $3.5 million of my money in 25 years of my time to make $100,000 or $110,000 a year. That's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can make a decent living, but I should be able to make a much more return on my money.
Right. You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah. I mean, and luckily, I'm paid up. I'm paid for, so I can kind of do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing, is my kids are coming of age to where I got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. They could help out with the other business. It'd be something that, so. And we've talked about converting the whole entire house to upstairs. We could have like an inn where we could have 5 private rooms with baths.
And, okay. And a bed and breakfast almost.
Yeah, but have fine dining. You know, I mean, you'd be serving other people besides just people staying there.
Right.
And we have a large home. And we have a 2,600 square foot basement. So we talked about even, and it's finished. We talked about even living down there for a year till we get going and figure out how it goes and then build another house on the property. That's the cheapest alternative. And I think where we're at, we would be just as busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We've kicked around both ideas. $1 million is a lot of money.
It is. It really is. Have you been saving up for it?
Well, I mean, I got some cash. I mean, I could do mine out of pocket, no financing type of deal. But
true.
I would obviously have to finance, or they would have to hold some of the note if I was to buy the other place. But, you know, I told them, I'm not a player until you get to, when you get to 700, I become a player. Because I think you guys are overpriced. You know.
For $1,075,000.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
So I truly believe that, you know. But I do think, I think that would be a good business.
It is. It's a business that never dies.
You know, and I'm not saying anybody wouldn't like to my spot as well as looking out over the river. Because like I said, we have a horse farm. So we have horses everywhere. People love to go see horses. They're all fenced. You know, people can walk up. They have a pond. They walk around. They can actually, we talked about, we got a huge outdoor deck. We talked about putting a roof over it and using it for outside dining. You'd probably see 40 people. And it would outlook over the pastures and over the pond and over the, you know, just over the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've kind of kicked around both ideas. But I'm kind of waiting to just see what exactly
is going to happen. That's the consent with a lot of people right now.
You know, I got a machine tool guy out of Florida that I've been looking at buying a machine. And he called me the other day because we've been seriously thinking about buying this one particular CNC machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know, Steve, I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, I don't usually play politics, but I just cannot do anything until I find out who becomes president. And this is what he told me. He said, you are the fourth guy today that's gave me the same answer.
Wow.
And he said, I don't mean, he said, I'm in Florida. He said, I'm talking four guys across the country. All of them are telling me the same thing. I'm like, wow. Wow.
But it has that big of an effect on people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we got for the last 8 years is going to be worse if we get her.
Mm-hmm. It's I'm right there with you, man.
I'm not really a political driven guy, but when you're in business and you have to deal with this, you have to become somewhat. I mean, you got to be realistic. You know, why do I want to invest more money into this if I'm not, you know, if there's not going to be, somebody's going to have to rebuild the military.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of things that's got to be done, and I don't see her doing that. I don't see a lot of things, so I'm just apprehensive. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to do anything, but I'm just sitting on my money right now, I guess, what I have.
And do that until, you know, you have a definitive answer in terms of what's going to happen. Because, I mean, the waiting game is the more important game right now, because you can prepare yourself for what's going to happen next, you know?
I mean, I'm still buying real estate. I buy and renovate a lot of real estate. I sell
mm-hmm.
some of them on land contract. I rent some of them. So when there's a deal, I'm still buying, but I'm not making huge purchases, you know.
Right.
I just bought a $10,000 house in our town. Just
mm-hmm.
A $10,000 brick home, 2-bedroom home for $10,000. Worked on it, just finished it, worked on it 60 days, put 10 more thousand in it. I did all the work myself, but it's
mm-hmm.
completely new, everything. I rented it for $750 a month. So I got $20,000 making me $750 a month, free and
That's
clear.
A I pretty mean, good investment right there.
Yeah, you're not, I mean, where you gonna, you can't invest in the market and make that kind of money. No way, no how. Plus, I still got the real estate. The market, you can lose it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that is. So, I mean, deals like that I'm still doing. I'm still buying small properties. I'm just not ready to pull the trigger on a real big deal right now, you know.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds fair.
What all do you guys finance? You guys
well,
mainly in this business here?
Well,
manufacturing.
We have two programs that we mainly deal with. We have our equipment financing program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're probably familiar with that, you know, the traditional way that it goes.
Sure.
2 to 5 year terms, mid-single rate digits, and, you know, monthly payments. And then we have what's called a working capital loan. Are you familiar with that?
It's kind of like a line of credit, but it's going to be paid back every year.
Well, it's not necessarily a line of credit. It's actually a little different. We're able to actually let you access more cash than your typical line of credit because we base the amount of money that we're able to give you on your sales, and generally we're able to free up around 10 to 15% of your top line revenue as unsecured
mm-hmm.
cash for your business. So with unsecured cash, you can use it for whatever you want. So let's say that you say you're doing around $550,000 in sales for what, 2015, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, 10% of that is around $55,000. So imagine if you had just $55,000 that you could use for whatever you want. You can flip more homes. You can, you know, renovate anything that you want. Purchase some equipment if you even wanted to. Or use
yeah.
it for whatever you want.
Yeah. It's just hard to buy stuff you don't need. Like I was, like 2015 tax year, we had a decent year for the amount of people I got. So I needed to buy something. I just could not make myself buy. I mean, I was going to buy a new Bobcat because we could use it here and use it on the farm. I mean, I have an older one. It works fine. So I go up there all ready to buy because I need to buy. I couldn't make myself go in there and buy a $45,000, $47,000 Bobcat. This is a small one. When I really don't need it.
Yeah, well, don't waste your money on something you don't need until.
But on the other hand,
it.
What do I need? You know what I mean? I got 21 CNC machines.
Holy
I mean,
cow,
I
that's
got,
a lot.
And I got four people. What I had 23 people at one time. What do I need? You know what I'm saying? I just decided, you know what, I'll pay the tax. I'll pay what tax I owe, and the hell with it.
I mean, have you looked into, like, just selling the CNC machines to kind of cut back on production since, you know, the
industry's... I haven't, because they're paid for, and they're here, and...
Which is a pain,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're paying in the ass.
If I get hot jobs, or if I get extra work, we're here. Sometimes we can knock a lot of stuff out fast. So I just haven't.
Right. So I'm okay. So with the 21 machines, you're way more efficient.
And that's what I told the guy in Florida when I'm trying to buy this other machine. I said it's not like I got to have one. I got five or six every day. Don't get turned on. I mean, I got one or two that's got some age on them that you can only do certain work on. You can't do real, real intricate, real close tolerance work on them because they're just, you know, they've got a lot of wear on them.
Right.
But there's a couple customers we do work for where it's just drilling, tapping, bolt holes, and milling keyways and shafts, and you know what I mean?
Just the easy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, anything you need that's within a thousandth, it'll run it all day. Now, if you got to do something within two or three tenths, you're not going to pick that machine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of the work you do, you don't need something that close. I mean...
That's more of the more intricate work, right?
Yeah, that's some of our real, you know, close time. And we do some of that. But, you know, we just use our real, real good machines. And so, I don't know. I am going to ITMS this year. It's the first time in 20 years I've been.
What's ITMS?
You don't. You're a you broker machine tools. And you don't know what ITMS is. Well, you better get with it. It is the International Machine Tool Show in Chicago. It's the World Machine Tool Show. Happens every 2 years. Anybody that makes a machine in the world will be there.
Yeah. What's the date for that?
It is September the 12th through the 16th or 17th.
Wow.
If you've never been, you need to go.
I can definitely learn a lot there.
There will be probably 6 miles of exhibits.
Oh, man.
Have you ever been to McCormick Place?
No, I haven't, actually.
It's the largest convention center in the United States. It sits right on the water there in Chicago, right by the airport. And it's three buildings, multiple floors.
Oh, wow.
And it is the machine tool show of the world. I mean,
wow.
Everybody will be there. So, I mean, if you're a finance guy,
mm-hmm.
You need to be there. You need to be there handing out cards.
Yeah, that is
look it
so
up.
True.
Just Google it and look at it, and you'll see what I mean. It is the world's largest show.
I'm going to look that up right after our conversation.
I used to go all the time, but I just really haven't been in the market to buy. And, I mean, I bought a machine in December. But it was only a little under 20 grand. I paid for it, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying not to finance things if I don't have to.
No, that's totally understandable, Jeff. That's the right way to go. If you don't need to do it,
that
then don't do it.
Depends on who you talk to. If you have this conversation with my commercial insurance guy, because I don't finance and I don't and my credit score is down, he gets to charge me more for insurance, which is pure bullshit in my book. I said, I'm one of the guys that's doing things the right way. You get a guy out there that's leveraged to the point where he can't even hardly make his payroll, and that's the guy you're giving the cheapest rate to?
Yeah.
I don't even understand that. But that's just the way our society is, you know.
It's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
It's like Dun & Bradstreet. That's the most crooked reporting company that there ever was right there. I'm not a Dun & Bradstreet. You know, they're always calling me, wanting me to update my profile for $1,000. They'll let me do that.
Oh, Jesus.
And they give out information on my company to people that call, all right? The problem is, and I ask them, I said, well, why do I need to update my stuff? Because I haven't had a UCC lending agreement on anything in 10 years. Oh, well, sir, we got 9 UCC lending agreements on the books for you. I said, well, maybe you need to do your homework. I said, I paid that stuff off a decade ago.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they told me. It's not our job to update it. I said, but it's your job to sell my information to somebody that is completely false information. And the only way that I can fix it is to pay them $1,000. So I called the bank I used a local bank here that did it, and I said, mm-hmm. you guys, if you put a UCC lending agreement out there, you need to get your ass busy and get them off air, because I paid that stuff off years ago. And that's what they report. And that, and one, is one reporting that goes against your insurance credential, too. But see, they don't have to, you know, they don't care if they update it, because that just costs them money. I said, that's crooked. That is crooked in my book. You know, if you're going to report something and sell my information to a company for a couple $100 every time somebody calls, you need to have current information.
Yeah, it's better to work off current information than stuff that's,
you know,
that's 10 years old.
I didn't build your database, so I should not pay to upkeep your database.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they're crooks. That's my opinion. And I told them I'll never give them $1,000.
Don't do it.
But that's the kind of thing you fight against, you know. Everybody wants a piece of your pie, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I just think that's corrupt. It's just my opinion.
It is. All right, Jeff, hey, I'm going to let you go because, you know, I don't want to keep you from business right now, but it was good catching up with you.
Why don't you drop me an email so I got your name and number and everything in case I...
Yeah, let's do that. What's the best email I can reach you at?
Protech, P-R-O,
mm-hmm.
P-E-C-H,
mm-hmm.
99... at mm-hmm. frontier.com.
Okay, so protect99 at frontier.com.
Yeah. Tell your boss you need to go to ITMS.
I'm going to let him know right now.
Give him a quiz and see if he even knows what it is. If you are financing equipment and never heard of ITMS, you all need to go, whoever's there. Because okay. I'm telling you, you will just be amazed at how big this place is and how much stuff's there.
All right, I'm going to do that.
All right.
I'll let him know.
All right.
All right, thanks, Jeff. You have a great rest of the week and a good Labor Day.